Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. If you desire to intimately connect with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, community, and your higher power, this show is for you. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spirituality, and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April and her co-host, Dr. Kelly. Now let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back Show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now here's your host, Dr. April, and co-host, Dr. Kelly.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. How are you doing, Dr. Kelly?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying to figure out which screen to look at today. You look beautiful.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you. And same to you. And so you remember, Dr. Kelly, last week we were talking about discernment, intimacy through discernment, you know?
Yes.
Yes, yes. And that was a powerful episode. So please check that out. And in that process of trying to discern, we're thinking about and we're feeling, you know what? We got to find our voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with everything that is happening in the world today. It's about, you know, everything. Where do we as women, as young people, I'm not as young as I think I am, yeah, but of finding our voice. That is so important.
Yeah, many people have lost their voice, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Individuals, groups. Yes.
Right, right. And especially 2020 was just a year, I think, of just a year of a lot of fear. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, fear. And it's ongoing. You know, we
right.
don't know what 2021 is going to hold, and it didn't kick off so great, did it?
Right, right, right.
And so that can really stifle us. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about today's topic. Truly.
Yes, yes. And so I was looking around and trying to find who can we have to inspire us. And I found this young lady. And actually, you know what? She's actually a roommate of my daughter. But she is a young lady who has had a lot to things that have happened to her in 2020. But she has found her voice, you know, and inspiring and creating a podcast and just doing a variety of different things. And so I was like, you know what? I need some inspiration from the youth today.
Yeah. Let's be refreshed.
Yes, 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 yes. So I would like to welcome to the show, Mika. Hi, Mika. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. You look absolutely wonderful.
Just color coordination. Just had to show up for my girl, Dr. April, you know?
Thank you so much. Yes. Well, let me give you a little bit of background about Mika. So Mika, it's grown up in Brooklyn, New York, your whole life, correct?
So I was born and raised in the Bronx, and I moved to Brooklyn about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. But you're a true New Yorker.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And so Mika also, she does a podcast, which is called Talk to Us Nice. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And she co-hosts that podcast with another young lady?
Yes, with my old coworker, Kelsey McCoy.
Okay.
We just kind of, we got to this point where we both knew this is something that we've always wanted to do, mm-hmm, and never particularly had the time to do. And if 2020 gave us one thing, it was time. So we did have, you know, a chance to structure everything, figure everything out. And yeah, we launched it around September and it's been going really great.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. And so doing that. And then also, I think you act also, right? You're an actress.
Yes. I'm an actress as well. I've been doing that for a couple of years. I got signed to a new agency this year as well. Well, this past year. And I also got back into writing, which was something that was very important to me. And I just got featured in Marie Claire last month. So,
wow, what did,
yeah.
Awesome. Yes. What was the name of that?
It was called Waves of Loss and Revolution.
Wow. What was that about?
So in May, I lost my father to COVID. And it was just, thank you. It was just about experiencing that and in the midst of COVID, which just felt like this whole existential thing that's happening outside of my close-knit family and mm-hmm. how I could deal with everything that's going. You turn on the TV, there's another march, there's, you know, another person that we lost to police brutality, but then I just kind of wanted to center on my family, but how could you do both? And it was just about navigating my way through all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. What issue was that, Mika?
Sorry?
What issue was that?
December.
December
2020.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get me a copy.
Thank you. It's online too. Yeah.
Cool. I can read it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did she, because, you know, today's topic is about finding your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How growing up, was there something that you were taught on how to be resilient in today's world?
Honestly, it took me years to find who I am now. Okay. I definitely grew into this. It wasn't something that came naturally to me. I don't know if it's middle child syndrome or what, but it did take me a really long time to find who I am, what I stand for, my values, what I won't let happen to me anymore and things like that. And 2020 was a very tough year. And so I'm very happy that, you know, I grew into that person before all those things happened to me, because when big things like that, big events like that happen to you, you kind of just lose your way. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy that I have pillars in my life that also would hold me up regardless of whether or not I found my voice, which I can give that little incident to my mom.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was going to ask about who your pillars were. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell and us also like about- just friends as well. They become your family. They become the people that you use to hold you up, who want to hold you up. It's not even like you have to ask them. And, you know, Deanna is probably my closest confidant.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. tell me a little bit about your mom.
Well, my mom was an accountant for multiple years, and then around in her 40s, she wanted a change. So she went back to school. She went back to school at the same time that I got into college. So it was funny. We were like both going through the same things. And right. Now she's a registered nurse.
Oh.
So she's been doing that for a couple of years now. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of even leads into a little segment that we here at Bringing Intimacy Back, we highlight a nonprofit. And so right now we're highlighting for this month, the American Nursing Foundation.
Oh, really? That's so
nice. Yes, yes, yes. And what they do, you guys can go onto their website, but they honor a nurse. They have an honor a nurse program where you can donate and they will honor a nurse and give them resources and help them with their family and mental health and stuff. So definitely check out www.nursingworld.org foundation. It's a great thing.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Definitely. And what did you study, Mika?
I have a dual degree. So I have a marketing degree and I have a business degree.
You're just extra all over, aren't you?
You know, I'm a Leo. It just comes with the package.
I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. My parents definitely wanted me to get into medicine. They were both immigrants. So it was like law or medicine. That's it. And I kind of had to fight my way to like make my own path in that. And it was definitely college that did help me finally like grow and find my own voice. It was the first time I think in my life that I made a strong decision against my parents' wishes. And, you know, thank God it was just like a major. It wasn't anything crazy, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah. How do you deal with, because even as a young person, trying to find your voice is difficult when you have so much of social media and things just telling you who you should be, what you should be, what you should look like, and all this kind of stuff.
It's definitely hard, especially being an actress. It's kind of what you have to go through the whole time.
Okay.
There's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of no. There's a lot of everything based on what you look like. And so it's just like a mental buildup that you have to create for yourself and whatever it is that helps you do that, whether it's journaling, you know, whether it is speaking to maybe a therapist or anything like that, you have to find, nobody's the same. You have to find your own way in order to build yourself. And that's what's really helped me. I do love to write, but I didn't really write seriously for years until last year. And it just so happened that it's kind of working out for me. And with everything that's been going on and everybody losing their job, I lost my job last year.
Oh, you lost your job too? Wow.
Yeah, it was tough.
A lot of losses.
You know, it was about trying to find my way and where, what next turn I was going to take. So the podcast was another thing that helped me just vocalize and connect with people. I think that's really why I wanted to do it. I wanted to feel I don't go anywhere. COVID has probably turned me into a shut-in. So it's like I needed to feel like I was still communicating with the world and still having relationships with people. And that's really why I wanted to start the podcast. And writing is just this intimate thing that you just feel like you're sharing. I don't know what it is about that course of like writing that just, it makes you feel like you're sharing things with people that you wouldn't usually, like you probably wouldn't even say it out loud. And so it really did help me throughout the whole of last year.
It's very vulnerable. How did you find that courage to be that vulnerable? It sounds like you wrote about your personal story with the loss of your father.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I needed a way to not exactly cope, but just to help me express how I was feeling. And I don't tend to express myself vocally when it comes to something that is that private. And so I just needed a way to express that. And it was actually the first piece that I wrote in years. It was because of, you know, my dad passing and things like that. And I just so happened to send it on a whim to an editor and she wanted to publish it. And I was lucky in that way. I didn't send it to her until like months after. And so that's why it's not until the December issue. But yeah, and now I freelance write for this website called Nightmarish Conjurings, which is like movie reviews. I do like press releases and things like that. And that's just how we have to navigate it, because I did try to go back to my degrees. I have those two degrees. But it is so hard to even get an interview right now. I applied for a job for social media marketing because that's what I used to do before. I was like, you know what? I know I've always wanted to act. Let me just get into it. And so I applied for a job for social media marketing. And it was one of those job applications that they give you an update like, oh, your application wasn't read yet. This is how many people applied. 22,381 people.
Oh my God. Wow.
For that one position. So I was just like, I gotta figure something out.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's tough out there, especially when the numbers just came out recently that 156,000 women lost their job just last month, but 16,000 jobs for men were gained. So for women especially, it's been like this for a real long time, but it's just getting a bit harder and harder.
I'm stunned.
Yeah. I don't know how the world's going to pick back up, but I hope it does happen swiftly enough.
With people like you in this world, it will.
That's so nice.
I'm humbled. You. I'm like so intimidated right now. Truly. This
no
is
no way.
Oh, really? You are our future. I'm not even going to ask your age. Not going to tell you mine, 54, but I'm so impressed. And you give me hope today. And
I thank wanna, you.
I'm sure our listeners also.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. You're definitely an inspiration and just keep moving forward and moving forward. And yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah. So talk to us about the title. Talk to us nice. What is that?
So that was like a play on words because me and Kelsey, we were bartending because she was back in school and I was acting. So we worked nights.
Right.
And it's kind of just a thing because it was from a song. Like the song is called Talk to Me Nice, but we used to say it to our customers, meaning please tip. And so that's usually how it worked. It's like, oh, talk to me nice. And yes, you might get a free shot and like things like that. But we kind of turned it into this pop culture, hip hop culture kind of podcast. And then on Sundays, we have a Talk That Talk segment, which is more about like relationships, dating, life in general, just trying to like navigate yourself, self-care kind of thing.
Oh, amazing. Awesome. Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah. Yes. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with you specifically on how you'll be able to be resilient through this whole year. You know, yes, we'll be taking a short break and we'll be back in a moment.
Haha, I just infiltrated Dr. April's show.
Hey, do you want to have an awesome podcast like April has? Well, my name is Adam Adams, and yes, that's my real name, Adam Adams. I know it's crazy, but I'm the guy that helps people launch podcasts. I help you launch a podcast, and if you have one and you don't have the downloads that you need, we do a lot of marketing for other people's podcasts and help them finally get ranked. The third and final thing that we can do is we can do all the back office post-production for you and your show. We do a great job. If you're interested in launching a show, getting all that post-production off your plate, or growing your show so that it actually gets downloads, listens, ratings, and reviews, then I'm your guy. And since you're a listener of Dr. April's show, just go to mypodcast.website. That's mypodcast.website and enter Dr. April at checkout.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. Of course, we have Dr. Kelly here, and we have Mika, a young New Yorker who has been in New York during this whole time of 2020. Yes, and has experienced a serious amount of loss. Yeah, so Mika, for us who are not in New York, we're down here in Florida. What is New York like these days?
In the beginning of the pandemic, it just felt like everything went quiet. Everyone calls it the city that never sleeps, and it was sleeping. And rightfully so, we were the epicenter of the pandemic. And gradually, you know, as the months pass and people got restless, like the city is starting to wake up again, but now the numbers are going back up. So everyone's still being very careful, at least everyone I know is still being very careful because there's new strains going around and all the things like that. But it's scary. It's a scary thing.
Yeah. And what do you, I mean, this happened this week to me in session where someone just doesn't even believe in the whole COVID thing. They think it's, you know.
A hoax.
Oh, yes.
I haven't encountered anyone like that. Nobody in my friend group, thankfully, is like that. But when you watch it on TV, it stings, especially as someone who lost somebody to it. It doesn't feel great at all. I put that in my essay as well. That's Marie Claire mentioning how my father got admitted to the hospital right when, you know, people were just all of a sudden completely bored of the pandemic. And they were holding up signs saying, "We want haircuts." And it just seems like such a trivial thing when such a massive pandemic is happening. They're like, "We want haircuts, let us out." And it doesn't get any easier seeing it now, but even with the coup that happened the other day and none of them had masks, it was just, I just feel like some people are living in a completely separate world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Feeling that, I mean, what do you do with all that feeling? You know what I'm saying?
I kind of have to turn to the things that bring me small joys.
Okay.
Like, and
What are those things that bring you small joy?
Hanging out with my roommates who have literally just carried me on their back because this has been one of the toughest times of my life. And you know, writing once again every day. I'm trying yoga. That's a new thing. I'm just like, let's de-stress. Let's sit down. Let's be calm for a little bit in the morning. But I do think that is important. I'm definitely a morning person. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I do feel my best. Most of the time I'm up right as the sun is coming up. So I do try to like take that time to just be still and allow myself to feel what I'm feeling and know that it is okay. Because for a really long time, I was like beating myself up for just not being all right for most of the time. And that is all right. Like,
right.
It's okay to feel how you feel. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And I think many times, and Dr. Kelly can verify this, but sometimes people are uncomfortable with feeling not okay, but it's okay. And it's better to feel not okay than to fake feeling something.
Mm-hmm. Because it will bounce back either way.
It really will. And you know, I really think that what you did was you insulated yourself with positive people. You know, birds of a feather flock together. So you were around people that believed and thought the same as you. And that's comforting. You started writing and you had that outlet. And yeah, trying, that would be the key word for me, trying yoga. Good for you. Kudos on that.
Thanks.
Remember at the beginning of this, everybody like had a list of things they were going to learn, like, you know, Mandarin. I'm like, are you kidding? I truly, at that point, my private practice started booming. I was still teaching full time and still am. And it was just like, no, I don't want to start anything new. I just want to do what I'm doing well. And I want to recognize myself at the end of this. And I don't know that everybody did recognize themselves at the end of 2020. And it sure looks like you not only recognize yourself, but you found yourself, Mika.
Yeah, I always try to practice gratitude because I just feel like whether something is good or bad, you learn from it, right? And so do I wish I didn't have to learn it in the way that I did? Of course, but who knows what I would have been doing if, you know, what happened didn't happen. I have no idea, like, would I have started writing again? Would freelance writing even be a thing that popped into my mind? And so any event that happens will change you, whether it's a little bit, whether it's like a full 180, but I always try to practice gratitude in whether it's relationships, whether it's big life events, things like that, of how I come out from it on the other end.
Yeah. Do you have with your gratitude, like a gratitude journal, or how do you deal with, what's your process with gratitude?
I kind of just do it step by step.
Okay.
With the journaling, it's mostly just like quotes that I love and just things that happen throughout my day sort of thing. But I feel like with the gratitude situation, I kind of just, it's me once again, like in the morning, how I always feel like I have to sit still and just like bask in like the quietness of what's happening to me. Okay. And that's when I really just think about, you know, things that have changed within me, outside of me, things that have changed with my friends and my family and how I'm dealing with that, how I've grown with that. What do I need to work on? Because we always need to work on something. Okay. And so, yeah, things like that.
Okay, good, good. And I do think that's very good to have because I have a morning routine also. Because, you know, to wake up and to start fresh and to meditate, mm-hmm. pray and work out. And that, I think, opens up your mind and prepares your mind for the day.
I personally love it because I'm a morning person. I know there's a lot of people that aren't. So the nighttime might be the best time for them. Right. You know, some people are children of the moon and that is completely okay. But as long as you're giving yourself time and space to, you know, grow within those moments, I think it's fine.
Good. Yes. Dr. Kelly, are you children of the moon?
I am a morning girl.
Yes. Oh,
okay. I love them, love them, love them.
Not a night. I'm like asleep by like 8:30 p.m. I can't.
Wow. So what time do you wake, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, this morning it was like 6 o'clock.
Wow, you're getting some good REM, girl.
Yeah.
You heal any
My sleep schedule is a little wonky because I'll wake up in the middle of the night for like 3 hours and then go back to sleep.
Okay. Well, any hour of sleep before midnight is equal to 2 hours after. So if you're going to bed, let's say you're asleep by 9, then your body registers 6 hours by midnight. So if you wake up at 2 a.m., stay up for a few hours and then go back to bed, you're just like getting 3 days out of one. So kudos.
Thanks. Bit unstable, but you know.
Well, you get your pre-midnight REM, you'll be stable.
Mm-hmm. It's just how I run. I don't know why. I've always been like that. My mom's like that too, though. I think it's just, especially after everything that happened, like I would just stay up with her throughout the whole night. And so it's just kind of been the cycle that my body runs on now. I think my body's just happy I don't work nights anymore.
I bet. Hey, do you have siblings?
Yes, I have two siblings. I have an older sister and a younger sister.
Oh, three girls. Good for your mom.
Yeah, my mom was happy. My dad, not so much. He really wanted a boy.
Yeah. But it's a blessing to have kids, and the support that you guys provided him and stuff was really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now last week was just such a traumatic thing for all of us to see. And as a young person, I mean, how do you feel about your country and what you saw?
It's just kind of devastating.
Mm-hmm.
I know when all the elections were happening, I was so proud of all the young people, all the people who were suppressed, who they stayed on lines for hours,
right?
Hours just to make sure that their vote counted. And I had never been more proud of my country. It's been kind of devastating to see everything that's been happening in the past 4 years, mm-hmm. obviously. But I just feel like at this point, you kind of just have to, I feel like it's just been my mantra, just like take it on the chin and move forward. We can't control what other people do.
Okay.
We just can't. These people, I don't want to say these people, but you're not going to agree with everybody's opinion.
Exactly.
The stark differences, though, with the security for a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest, yes. and the security for this were drastic.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people of color have been saying this for a really long time, and no one has really been listening. And now it's right in front of their faces on the news every time they turn on the TV. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are acting shocked, which shocks me.
Right.
So, yeah, it hasn't been a great feeling, but you know, as long as things are still moving towards the positive end, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It was shocking to see that and to see how our country is at this point. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy that maybe we can move toward healing. You know, both sides can come together and, you know, fight this battle of the COVID, which is the number one thing that we need to.
Yeah. It's just hard when a large part of that side doesn't believe that COVID actually exists. So it's just like a Hail Mary kind of thing that we have to do right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but it's good that you're still very hopeful as a young person, which is
that's amazing. All we got.
Yes, that's all we got. It's hope. Yes.
Yeah, I heard the children are our future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sing it, but
I almost did.
Well, okay, well, you can. I didn't realize you could sing until I saw it on that. Yeah.
You do sing? Come on, girl.
Yeah, she did. Go ahead.
I was like humming it in my head once you said it. I was like, in my head, I'm not going to sing it out loud.
You have a beautiful voice. Go ahead.
I don't know where all the other, what your siblings do, but you got a lot of talent.
Thank you. You're still not going to coax me into singing though.
Okay. All right.
But no, really, the children are our future, but let's just transpose that and say, you know what? What about people that don't want to have children now because they're afraid to bring them up in a society? And it is true. Children are our future. They truly, truly are. And you're not a child. You are a young adult woman that is powerful. And you're finding your voice and you're sharing it with others and helping others find their voice. And you're pretty, pretty darn impressive. I mean,
thank you.
But I just want to encourage anybody that, you know, is afraid to have children because of what's going to happen in our world. You know, there were a lot of things happening historically throughout our country for hundreds and hundreds of years. And people kept having children. And I'm sure glad my mom did. Mm-hmm. So have the children, and your mom must be so proud of you, truly.
Thank you.
How is she doing?
It's been hard. She took a couple of months off work, which was much needed. I feel like right when it happened, she she probably took 2 weeks and then just like kept pushing, but that's what helped her in the moment. You know, she needed to keep busy. She needed to keep moving. And then it got to a point where, you know, grief comes in waves. And so this wave was calling for her to take some time off and take some time for herself. And so she is right now.
Can I ask, when you were young, what did you want to become? What did you strive to become when you were younger? What was your thought like that? This is what I want to be.
Well, before I really knew, you know, who I was, I just wanted to make my parents proud. So yeah, I did want to get into medicine. My parents would always see like an MD on a license plate and they'd be like, I can't wait for that to be you. And I'm like, yeah, stethoscope, cool. And, you know, as I got older and I, you know, had a love for the arts, I'm an artistic kind of kid. And my mom always encouraged that as well. I would always draw, I would paint. That was most of her gifts, is, you know, still hanging up on the walls in our house are just like art projects that I've done. She keeps encouraging me to go on to The Voice, which I'm just never gonna do, but she is encouraging now. It was a little tough on them in the beginning when, you know, they realized I wasn't gonna fall into the line that they wanted me to do. But yeah, she's very, like, right now, especially at this point in our lives, like, she just wants me to be happy.
Yeah. So you're not gonna go on The Voice, but you found your voice. Have you ever had a hard time or been afraid to say what you think?
Oh yeah.
Can you give me an example?
I just feel like it, security in who you are and what you have to say comes with age. Because it did take me a really long time to get to this point. It wasn't until probably even after it happened during college for me, but it didn't really fully hit until after I graduated. When I was younger, I just wanted to make everybody happy. I didn't want to like rock any boats. Once again, I think it was middle child syndrome. And it was just always this thing of just quieting. It wasn't even somebody was suppressing my voice. It was me doing it. And joining a sorority in college was actually what helped me like find my voice. I joined a multicultural sorority and, you know, these are women who I already knew. And they founded the sorority on our campus.
Oh, awesome.
And just to see the change in them after their process and how they grew as women really helped me like follow through with them.
Sororities sound so cool. Like, so I had never had any sororities where I was from, but I made some great friends in college and it sounds like you have as well.
Yeah.
You ever had somebody that you disagreed with in, whether it was your sorority or another group, and you had to find your voice and stand up for what you believed?
Oh yeah. One specific thing that I think it was like the first time that I was just like, I, you know, can't let this happen to me. It was my friend. She was getting bullied. But and it sounds weird to say that, like, we're in college and someone was getting bullied, but that's exactly what was happening. And it was kind of like a fight or flight thing that happens inside of you, especially when you know it's your friend. And even if you might not want to speak up for yourself, you're going to speak up for the people that you love. And that's what kind of like kicked me into gear, because it was at a party. We don't need to go into details about it, but it's not a thing that you see that you could let go. And a lot of people around the area were just letting it go. And I could never do that. And I feel like that was one of like the first stepping stones of me coming into myself, because I would never let anybody around me feel small or belittled. So why would I let myself feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So Mika, with such a powerful voice, where do you see yourself going? I'm like excited about your journey. I'm like, wow.
Where do I see myself going?
Yes.
Hopefully with plenty of jobs soon. I don't know. I'm still following, you know, my acting path. I'm trying to just let life take me where my journey's supposed to go. I didn't expect to be freelance writing throughout 2020, and here I am. And so if that works out, great. If the podcast works out, great. If acting works out, great. I know I have my hands in a lot of pies, but I've always just wanted to be a multi-hyphenate.
Yes, you're being an entrepreneur.
Exactly. So that is the goal. I just want to be able to, you know, grow in, you know, everything that I try to accomplish and take care of my mom mostly.
So do you want to be on SVU, or what's your like vision? Like if you could be on any show, like give me three shows, if they would be like, wow, I'd be so happy.
Okay. I definitely want to be in something in the Marvel universe, just because I just always thought it'd be so cool to be in anything action oriented. I don't know what training I would need, but I would do all of it.
Keep doing your yoga.
I know, right? I need to be able to touch my toes first before I can get on anything Marvel. I just saw Sylvia's Love on Amazon. It's with Tessa Thompson, and it is absolutely beautiful and amazing. I feel like there aren't any regular Black love movies. I feel like all of it is rooted in trauma. And so people see just, there's so many rom-coms, but if you see like a Black rom-com, people are just like, oh, it was kind of boring, because they're used to seeing love stories that have trauma instilled in it. And I just, it's okay for Black love to turn out just fine. Of course. So I do love those movies. I love Sylvie's Love. I think everybody should watch that. Mm-hmm. And High Fidelity on Hulu. It is now canceled. I will never forgive Hulu for it. I honestly think that show was made for me to be in it, and I'm devastated.
Well, since you're a writer, you could actually do something like write something. Remember My Big Fat Greek Wedding? That was like a very low budget. You write it. So do a screenplay and get somebody to, somebody like Oprah to fund it.
Mm-hmm. Just slide into Oprah's DMs.
I mean, who knows? She might be sliding in your DMs.
Hey.
You are not prideful. And I love that about you. But I truly say write the screenplay and act in it. There's many people that do.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to make my way towards it, like build the confidence to write my own screenplay. I think that's kind of scary, especially when it's something that you've just never done before, like software in that field.
It. There's software for it.
I know. Yeah, that's true. That's true. My agent will probably be very happy hearing you say that.
Who will?
My agent.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because she has a writing division as well. So if any of her actors like told them that they wrote something and it's great, she'd be so happy.
Well, I truly see a future, and it's all also fun to have that acting outlet. That's what I did. I was an actress once or twice.
Amazing.
Yes, I was in college. You know, I'm talking about myself, but and it was an extreme outlet. And if I had extra time right now, I would love to do it again. So I say, find those outlets, write your screenplay, and just keep dreaming. And you are making a difference. You're inspiring.
Right. Thank you
You're
so much.
You're actually a superhero already. You know
that. Yes.
Yes, I was just thinking that. I was like, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
I was like blushing. It's so funny.
You know, I don't remember her last name, but it's Gadot, and she was Wonder Woman in the movie Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a movie. And I heard she was pregnant during some of those stunts.
Yes. How crazy is that?
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Like blown off. So yeah, whatever. That's amazing. Sorry, I got distracted by her.
And she is amazing.
Yeah.
She's Wonder Woman.
Yes.
She is.
Yes, yeah. And but you are also an amazing young lady, yes, with a truly gifts to bring to this world, you know? And it, and the voice to speak out for other people. I mean, that is something that a lot of young people aren't capable to able to do. So yeah, so I thank you for that. We're gonna take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to get questions from the audience. And for all of us to, you know, help them out on finding their voice.
Are you wanting a vacation in paradise? A vacation to rekindle the passion. A vacation without the kids. A vacation where you can learn how to communicate, where you and your partner actually hear each other and gain insight. If so, vacation counseling is your next vacation. Dr. April Brown has created Vacation Counseling in Southwest Florida as a perfect option for you and your partner. Our retreats are one couple at a time. We have a variety of packages available to choose from, including virtual couples retreats. If you and your partner are interested in the vacation counseling, please visit us at vacationcounseling.com for more information on pricing and packages. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. To keep track of the latest news, stories, activities, or coupons on vacation counseling and Dr. April's other services, we encourage you to sign up to receive a monthly newsletter called Intimate Connections at draprilbrown.com. Remember, if you and your partner are struggling with communication and intimacy, and you all are looking for a retreat to connect, vacation counseling can be your next vacation in Southwest Florida.
Welcome back to the Bring in Intimacy show, where intimacy is real. And today we've been talking about finding your voice, and we've been blessed, so blessed, to have the talented superhero of Mika from Brooklyn, New York. Yes, yes. So now on this part of the show, we are taking questions from the audience. And so I know Dr. Kelly's maybe has had a few about people who are trying to find their voice.
This is a question for Mika. If you could have any superhero power, what would it be? And that's from Melanie in Michigan.
Hi. I know everybody says fly, but honestly, I would want speed, but it's for purely selfish reasons. I just want to be able to eat whatever I want. I always think about that question. I'm just like, I could eat whatever I want and I would just still look so great. I want speed.
That's a good one.
If it wasn't speed, I'm a huge fan of Mystique from X-Men and she's a shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. I just always thought she was so badass. So yeah, Mystique would probably be like number one, so shapeshifting.
Okay.
I had another question for both of you because, well, I guess they noticed that I am not black, but they said for Dr. April and Mika, they wanted to know if you had felt oppression or being bullied. They must have watched the early part of this as well, but being bullied as a child because of your ethnicity.
Do you want to go first? Sorry.
You can go first.
Yes. Yes, I grew up in a, I went to school in a Catholic, white Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So I was the only black person in my class. So I was being made fun of the type of hair, you know, my hair wasn't straight and all that kind of stuff. And at one point I even wanted to go get a ponytail to, you know, to make it straight. And so that was one point. I was bullied in the sense of not being able to fit in. You know, call names, that kind of stuff. Or I also struggled as a reader. So made fun of about how I pronounce stuff and that kind of stuff. And then the opposite side is I switched schools in the middle of sixth or seventh grade. And I was coming from South Carolina to another private school here in Florida. And they knew I was black. Okay. So they automatically put me on the basketball team. I have no sports thing whatsoever. So in my little mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe I could do this. It was a disaster.
A little bit of a stereotype there.
Yes. But my mom, kind of just like Mika's mom, in the sense she was very strong. Okay. And so when I was a teenager, one time I said I didn't like myself or like the color of my skin or whatever. And my mom, I've never seen her get so mad. She got so mad at me. She'd sat me down. She said, you know, you were born beautiful. You are this, you are that, you know, you are worth everything. Yes. Don't ever, ever let anyone put you down. And she went on for seemed like hours. And so that is still in my head to always be, you know, uplifting.
So. And you are beautiful, April. Do you, Dr. April, do you know that?
Yes, I do. I do. I do. Yes, yes. Thank you.
And those voices, you know?
Yes, yes, yeah.
What about you, Mika?
Very similar history. I went to a mostly Irish Catholic school, and there were other people of color, but then it became that I was African. And it's so funny that now, for some reason, being African is trending and everybody wants to go back to the motherland and like all of those phrases you see around. But when I was younger, everyone made fun of me because I was Nigerian. And if it wasn't that, it was because I was darker than them. Like even people, like even other Black kids and women, they would make fun of me because I was darker. And so that became a really big thing that did affect me a lot growing up. But times have changed. And so and I'm A-okay now. But yeah, it was a little tough growing up and constantly hearing that sort of thing.
You know, in finding your voice is what we're talking about today. And we have the historical trauma, of course, within African America. And correct me if I ever say anything wrong, because I'm, you know, I've been known to say things wrong. But and I also have worked with Native Americans who have also have lost their voice. And within the boarding schools, they were not allowed to speak their own language. And so from the historical trauma, and as we think about finding your voice, there's people that have lost their voice because of the historical trauma and oppression, and also through sexual abuse. And I just wanted to say, if any of our listeners have been sexually abused, please reach out, because that is one of the number one ways that people have lost their voice. They were told to keep a secret and to be silent. And so I do want to encourage you to reach out and have help for that. We are not your counselors, but we are encouraging you to find the resources that you need. And our voice today, or our topic today, is to find your voice. And so I encourage you for that. We have two beautiful women, three. Beautiful women today, and two specifically who have talked about losing their voice or being bullied. And it's just, it's rewarding to be here. And thank you both so much for sharing that, truly. I haven't really felt that oppression. I mean, I never even noticed that I was short. That's the one thing that makes me different from most people. And it was, I only like, oh, I guess so. But that was after like people told me for 30 years, I believed them. But to think that you were put on a basketball team because you were Black, you know, it was just assumed that the stereotype that you're going to play ball.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned about sexual abuse, because that's, I think, has happened more and more, and it's not decreasing. I know when I first started in this field, it was, I think, 25%. And then recently, it's not 30%, almost close to 40% of all females have had some kind of sexual trauma. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so we do have to speak out and say something.
Yeah, anything that you have to hide or call a secret typically is not good. And I mean, it's one thing to have a surprise anniversary party for somebody, but usually if it's a secret, it's not good.
Right. Good, yeah. Yeah. And calling in or even getting counseling is something that is so important to do, you know, and it doesn't mean that if you, you know, go out and you speak with a counselor that you're mentally ill, but it means that you're getting help, and getting help is strength. And that helps you find your voice, because in counseling, my theory is everybody has the answers within. So, yes.
So what do you place your faith in, Mika? What is your strongest faith base in your life?
For me, so after everything that happened with my dad, me and my family started doing these Bible studies on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mostly do that for my mom, because I know that that is what is helping her. That is what, you know, she's holding on to. It's not that I don't have faith in religion or anything like that. I went to a Catholic school up until college. I know the Bible inside out. It's not that. It's just, I think it was just a little bit hard because I don't think I've ever prayed so hard than I did when my dad was in the hospital. And so kind of like bouncing back from that and just trying to find steady ground again, I kind of just put my faith in my family and my friends and in myself, because at the end, like, if I need to believe in somebody, I have to believe that like I can do it as well. And so I kind of, it's just like those three things are kind of what I ping pong in between.
So you're doing that for your mom with the Bible study. What book are you studying?
We're doing the Bible.
Yeah. I mean, are you in Psalms?
Right now we're in John. My sister, I don't think I know anybody who knows the Bible in more depth than my older sister. And so she's literally, I feel like I'm in Sunday school when I do it. Because she's like, interpretation, application, observation, what do you guys think? She like gives us a passage and we have to explain it and all of that. And so it's really just like getting back to the basics and everything. It's really helping my mother feel whole. Yeah. And I find faith in helping my mother. And so that's fine with me.
And when you pray so hard for an answer and you don't get an answer that you pray for, it can send you to reeling. And I've been there, even with the loss of my own mother. So I can identify with that. And I went years just questioning that. So I'm glad that you're doing that with your family. You guys sound so fantastic.
Right. I was thinking just meeting all together. Yeah. And going through all that is a lot of just good old fashioned family intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
That is intimacy.
Mm-hmm. We've definitely, because me and my mom are really close, same thing with me and my dad, but I feel like now, like as a unit, we've gotten definitely stronger throughout, you know, the trauma. That's one good thing that has come out of it. We check on each other so much more. I basically live part-time in my apartment and part-time in my mom's house now. You know, I'm there all the time. So that definitely has helped.
Yes, definitely. Good. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, it's been a pleasure. Yes. So where can they find Talk to Us Nice?
So we are on Twitter at Talk to Us Nice. We are on Instagram at Talk to Us Nice Podcast. And we are on Facebook at Talk to Us Nice Podcast. And then if you want to follow me, my personal Instagram is at Mika Adeniran.
At me what?
Mika Adeniran. Adeniran.
I'll get that from Bochon.
Yeah. Following you. Definitely. And you do your podcast, is it bi-weekly?
Yes. So okay. Wednesdays is our like hip hop and pop culture episode where we just discuss like hot topics that go on throughout the week. And then Sundays talk that talk.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And for all those who are out there listening, we have for the rest of January, we have Sherry Balmer coming next week. You Are Designed for More. And then David Essel, a therapist around here, he's going to go over 50 flavors of erotic love. Okay.
Whoa.
Yes. So don't forget that we are going weekly, and we're also supporting again the American Nurses Foundation. And we thank nurses, especially a nurse like your mom, who, how can I imagine, she's continuing to work, but taking some time off right now, even after the loss of her husband. I mean, hats off to her. She's definitely a hero. And she raised an amazing, amazing young lady.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. So thank you so much. For everybody out there, you can follow us on YouTube and like and share and subscribe. This has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much.